We hope you enjoy this message from St. Martin C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
This isn't how I normally start a message, but I'm going to start with a thought around John 15. If you can put that up on the screen for me, Joel, would be fantastic. I was praying through the week and about the message, but also just as what God had put on my heart for the church. And I just sense that this scripture is quite prophetic for us at the moment. Now, you take that for what it is, okay? If you receive it as a prophetic word, great. Besides that, it's the word of God. So take it as the word of God today. Here it is, John 15. And imagine this is Jesus speaking to you today and speaking to St. Martin C3 today. Imagine this is him giving this word to you today. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. If you know Christ, you are a friend of God today. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. He has made known everything to you. You did not choose me. I have chosen you and appointed you that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. There's so much in these verses, but what I want to emphasize is that, and what I felt God put on my heart, is that there is a partnership, there is a friendship that God desires to have with you, not just for the purpose of that friendship, although that would be a great purpose on its own, but that you would go and bear fruit. Your life is to be fruitful. You're to bring the kingdom to the world around you. And the revelation that deep in my heart, I have this strong conviction that the revelation that the church now in the 2020s, so to speak, man, we're there. I can remember when the millennium rolled around and now we're 20 years on. But for this time in our history, especially in the Western Church, is to grasp the full empowerment of every member of his church to bring revival to the world around them. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it? So let me just unpack that a little bit. You see, about a year ago, we did a series on how we looked at revival and how revivals came to be. And as we looked through that series, you would have discovered that down through history, God had chosen special people to bring that revival through. You know, a John Wesley or a Martin Luther or the Azusa Street Revival through William Seymour or whoever it was, but it tended to rely, that model of revival tended to rely on people bringing people to the revival meeting or bringing people to the revivalist, the anointed man of God or whoever it was. But you are that anointed person of God. God wants to bring revival through you. So I want you to imagine this for a moment. I want you to imagine your context, your family, maybe extended family who may or may not know Christ, maybe your workplace, but whatever contact, whatever sphere of influence you have, it may be here in the church, in the people you know. Now imagine God using you to bring revival to those people. You're the one that he's choosing. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? What would that look like? What would that look like? What would it look like for you to be the one that brings revival? I think this is kind of what Jesus is meaning by bearing fruit. fruit that will last. The fruit that he's talking about is that kingdom change in other people. And you kind of go, oh, well, I'm not so sure about that. I'll just leave that up to the real spiritual people. That, you know, that, I don't know, maybe the Warren or Jonties or Claire's or other people around here that do this sort of stuff. No, no, no. What I believe that God is calling his church to is that we all catch this vision. And there has been times in church history where the church has got close to this. In New Zealand, in the 1970s in particular, we had a powerful move of the Holy Spirit called the Charismatic Renewal, and many of you are products of that if you're a little bit older. And you've come into that. And there was an empowerment to that. But still that model was, oh, you bring people along to where God's Spirit is moving. Why can't God's Spirit move in your context? Why does it have to? God's at work everywhere. We sang that today, didn't we? Even when we don't see it, he's working. He's working all in us and all around us. I pray that God, that you can take this on board and go, okay, God, what does that look like for me to be ready to bring revival in my context? What would that look like? If you can receive that word today, I pray that you can receive it. What's the goal? What are we looking for? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, God has made you a new creation. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, does that mean you kind of change jobs and you're now a mediator where you're trying? No, 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 no. What that means is that God's heart, like David was sharing before, is that he wants to run to anyone who will just turn their hearts towards him. He's running towards them. If your heart is just inclined to go, yeah, who are you, Lord? And you turn that way, God runs to you. If you draw near to God, he draws near to you, right? And our ministry is to help people draw near to God. That's what ministry is. Ministry is bringing God's life to others so that they may grow closer to him. We do it in a context where people may not know Christ, we help them come to know Christ. If they do know Christ, we help them get closer to Christ. That's the ministry of reconciliation. And you can't kind of absolve yourself of that responsibility and go, oh, well, that's for other people to do. No, no, no. This is our ministry. Jesus has said it. Paul said it. That whole biblical narrative of the New Testament is that that ministry has been released to the whole body of Christ. So are we prepared? And do we know what that ministry looks, how we would do that ministry in our context? How we would bring the kingdom of God to others? What stirring up that passion in us and that passion overflowing to the world, what does that look like? Well, it does take an intentional looking inside our hearts at what God has already done and gone, okay, God, grow that ministry within me. Reveal to me what that looks like. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, it won't come up on the screen, but in that scripture, Paul says that we are God's workmanship. I love that. I love that I'm a work in progress. Because I know I've got a long way to go. I don't know about you, but I've got a long way to go. My wife will testify to that. You know, we've all got to grow, right? We've all got to grow into the potential that God has for us. But don't let that be the thing that holds you back and go, oh, well, I'm not there yet, so I won't even try. No, it's about taking on that ministry of reconciliation and going, okay, I'm not quite sure how this looks, but I'm going to take steps in that direction. Now, what does that look like? Now, there's a very fancy diagram on the second page of your notes there, which we'll unpack today. And it's centered around the disciple, the Apostle Peter, and his growing into ministry. And I know I use Peter and Paul and those guys in the New Testament a lot, but it's because we have a whole lot of information about them, so they're pretty easy to use. And especially Peter, he kind of puts himself out there, so you find out a lot about his personality. Here we'll look at his calling with Christ. Matthew 16, verse 13. The disciples are all in the region of Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus asks them, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and some others say Jeremiah and one of the prophets." They're all kind of a bit nervous about, is this a test? And, what if we get it wrong, But what about you? Jesus is a bit annoyed with him. He goes, "Come on, step up to the plate, What do you say? Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," which is a powerful prophetic statement. And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Now, every other disciple is going, "Man, I really wish I answered the question that way." Because in Peter's boldness to step up, Jesus responds with speaking to his potential and speaking to his identity of who he was going to be in relationship with God and what this life overflowing from this relationship looked like. And what we learn here about Peter is kind of a bit of his personality. We see that in his natural self, Peter is bold. He's one of those guys that speaks before he thinks sometimes. I can relate to that, most extroverts can. They just like put themselves out there and they say some things and some of it's great and some of it doesn't. I've got to stick to my notes very carefully because if I don't, I say some things that I really shouldn't say. Even your personality, even Peter's boldness and extroversion, it's given to him by God. God created him like that, right? He was the guy that took the risks. He was the guy to speak up. But in doing so, God used that part of his personality, but he also gave him a word of knowledge at that point. And he said, "This is who you're going to be. This is who you are." Without all the other rubbish in your life, without all the sin and the other baggage, you are going to be a leader in the church. And you're going to have a significant role in this thing called the church. Now, Peter wouldn't have even had a full understanding. He would have no idea what Jesus was talking about because the church didn't even exist yet. But Jesus speaks to what is going to be. And this is also birthed out of life experience. Peter's spending time with Jesus. He's coming to know Jesus and who he is. And all of that shapes who Peter's going to be in the future. Now, the interesting thing is that straight after this, Peter gets this amazing word, and the best thing that Peter could have done is shut up and said nothing. That was the wisest thing for Peter to do. But then Jesus says something else about how he's going to die, and Peter, in his brashness and his boldness, being a bit of an idiot and not being staying close to Christ, says something really dumb and kind of natural, but dumb. And Jesus goes, "Well, get behind me, Satan." And you can imagine Peter sitting there going, "Whoa, hang on a minute, whoa, hang on. So you're speaking to me as a leader of the church and my potential and who I can be, and now you're calling me Satan. What is going on here?" What is going on is these first two, if we can bring up those first two things on the PowerPoint would be great. So who we are, identifying the ministry that God is going to do through you, is going to be through who he's created you to be. Your identity, your personality. And every one of us is unique in that. The way that God might use me to bring the kingdom of God to the world will be completely different to you. You don't have to do ministry like I do, and I don't have to do it your way. Is that good news? That's really good news. Trust me, you wouldn't want to do it. So But the important thing here is for us to identify what does that look like, me doing it with Christ? And what Jesus describes here with Peter is God doing it with Peter, with the Holy Spirit in him, with all that the good stuff that God has put in him. But he also recognized, and let's bring up the second one of that, he also recognized that if we do things without Christ, we say some things that are not very Spirit-led, that are not very, they don't come from a relationship with God, not God guiding us in that moment. We will say some dumb things, and that's without Christ, okay? And we'll move away from our purpose and our ministry. Does that make sense? So there are things that you can do in your life that draw you closer to who you are and your calling, and there are things that you can do to move away. And what are the two things that lead us away from our calling? From my experience, having pastored for many years and watching people go through this process, there are two things that will ruin God using you in the world around you. Number one is sin. It's just that old age thing called sin. And as we'll see with Peter, he did sin. And he did move away from God's calling on his life. Sin will destroy things. Sin is destructive. We need to be convinced of that. And your calling rests on your character. And if you pull the character away, the calling falls. And there has been numerous examples of that, I'm sure, that you've seen in church leadership over the years. And it's really sad to see. Your calling will only be as strong as your character. And sin will draw you away. And righteousness will draw you closer. Humility, repentance, giving God full control, like we were doing today, draws you closer in to who you are always meant to be. But sin will draw you away. Here's the other big one, is fear. I don't know how many, whether it was a few months later, but not very long after this, Jesus is going on trial. Peter is there. And people challenge him and go, oh, you're with this guy, aren't you? You know, you're with Jesus. And he goes, no, I'm not. He denies his very relationship with Christ. He sins. But why does he sin? Because he's fearful. He's thinking, well, what do other people think if I say this? He had an incredible opportunity, actually, at that point, to take a stand for Christ and to bring the kingdom of God to the guards and other people that were around at the time. But he misses the opportunity. He goes the other way out of fear. What are you afraid of? What, as God is calling you into bringing revival to the world around you, what are you afraid of? You're afraid of what people will think of you. Are you afraid of what they'll say about you or your image or, you know, what are you afraid of? That very fear will draw you away from your calling. God has come to break through that fear. Free us from that fear. Free us from bondage and draw us closer into that calling. And Peter needed to learn that lesson, to stay close to Christ, to stay close to his calling. And in John chapter 21, we see that fortunately this journey of repentance where Peter goes from the outer circle of leaving Christ and drawing closer to him. What does he do? Jesus is dead and he's discouraged and he's going, oh, what do I do? I'll go away. I'll go back fishing. But the interesting thing is Peter was a very successful fisherman before he was a disciple of Christ. So he goes back fishing, but here the interesting thing is if you read John 21, they don't catch anything. And I think that's a really important point, is that if you move away from the calling of God on your life, if you move away from what God has for you and who you really are, it won't be fruitful. It won't be productive. We'll get to that a little bit later on. John 21, verse 20. This is after Jesus has said to Peter, come on, mate, get back on track. Don't you want to be that church leader that I've called you to be? Don't you want to be living the life that I have for you? And Peter goes, yeah, that is what I really want. And Peter turned to Jesus and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. In other words, this was an interaction with just Jesus and Peter, but he's very, again, fearful of what other people are thinking around him. And he looks at John and he goes, now what about him? And when Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You follow me. In other words, don't look at what other people are doing. Don't look at their calling and comparing yourself to them and competing with them. You just stay on track with what God's called you to do, who you are, what fits with you, what God is doing through you. And Peter got hold of this. And in the early chapter of Acts, we see that this, he doesn't try and be somebody else. He just is who God's called him to be. And there's some great fruit that comes out of that, the ministry of Peter. He's the guy that stands up in the square on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people get saved. Isn't that amazing? That God restores Peter as he comes close to Christ. Not when he moves away, but when he draws in close. And we need people around us. And this is the point that I think Jesus was making, that we need people around us who are encouraging us and speaking into our lives. We're not comparing ourselves to them. We're allowing them to feed into us. So here's another circle on that, if we can go back to that diagram, and it's on your page. We need a spirit-filled community. I'll give you an example of this. When I was in 1992, so just a few years ago now, I started Bible college here in Christchurch. And so we're all sitting in this class, and there was about 20-something of us in the first year class. And I can't remember who was lecturing on the day, but they wanted to get to know us. So I said, hey, why don't you just stand up, tell us your name, and tell us why you're here at Bible college and what you wanted to do. Now, I was 21, 22 at the time, and I was just full of passion for God. I'd just come back from a missions trip. I was fired up to do all that I could do for God. So I stood up. I said, well, I'm Warren Gooman, and God's going to use me. I was a bit brash. I was a bit like, you know, Simon Peter. God's going to use me to train people, church leaders, and people like that, and disciples in Africa. And that's why I'm here at Bible College to do that. And so the lecturer went, oh, great, cool, thanks, Warren. Have a seat. And then we went along the way. And then at lunchtime, a lady who was in that class came up to me and said, who do you think you are? And I went, sorry, you know, like, what? You know, who do you think you can do that? You're just young. Like, you know, who do you think you are going across the other side of the world and teaching pastors in Africa and all that? You know, you've got a lot to learn. You just got to serve for 20 years in the church and then maybe, you know, God will use it. And I just went away. I was just so discouraged, you know. Now, you know, it'd be nice to think that we're just so strong in our identity and our calling on God that those things just like water off a duck's back, right? But they're not. You know, words like that cut deep, don't they? They hurt. Now, the irony of that, and the interesting thing about that, and if you've lived a bit longer and understand these things, you'd understand that it was actually more about her insecurity than my insecurity. She had been pushed back on ministry for many years, and she thought, well, who's this young guy? You know, I've got 20 years on him, and I haven't had the opportunities that he has. Who does he think? But that's actually more about her fear, not my fear. Coming back to that, you see. And so I went, oh, but I was a bit discouraged. Within a few short weeks, we had a guy, a lecturer from Ghana, come over and speak to us. He got to know me, and he said, by the way, can you come over and teach some of our pastors and leaders over here? There you go. You know, that kind of encouraged me a whole lot, just by the way. And here's the point in this. We need community, good, spirit-filled, spiritually mature people to speak into our lives. But we don't need competition and comparison and all the other stuff, which is the next circle in that PowerPoint. So when we say, hey, we need a church community that supports us, encourages us in our calling, yes, we do. But we need the good people that are speaking, not from their fear and their sin and their insecurity, but out of the life that God has given them. Be careful how you speak into other people's lives. It matters. Why be discouraging when you can be encouraging? So there's a few overlapping things that we need here. So the first thing is we need to stay close to Christ, stay close to our calling, and move away from sin and fear, and then we will come closer to our calling. We also need to listen to spiritually mature, spirit-filled people around us, hopefully within the body of Christ that you're in here, which there are many, who are speaking positive things in our lives, and actually have the discernment to not listen to people who are not speaking from what the Spirit of God is saying. Here's the final thing that we see in Peter's life. We see fruitfulness. He went fishing, wasn't very fruitful, didn't catch any fish. But he steps into the calling that God has on his life, and it produces fruit. Good things happen. In John 15, verse 4, it says this, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." When Peter stayed close to Christ, was listening in a spirit-filled community, growing in the calling that God had for his life, there was fruit that came from that. And sometimes we need to look at what we're doing in our life. Is it being fruitful? Is it actually bringing the kingdom of God to those around us? And the community we're in can often help discern that for us and give us feedback on that. But when we step into that, we will see fruit beyond our natural ability. I'll give you an example of this just in recent weeks. We had a teacher's only day here at Hillview a couple of weeks ago where myself and a few other speakers come in and speak to the staff about school culture and values and all that sort of thing. And Anthony Nehunehu came and taught us on Māori culture and awareness and all that sort of thing. And for Anthony, I've just seen a massive growth in his life over the last few years. He's spoken here, you'll know Anthony. He used to be an accountant, and Elizabeth would say there was so much more to Anthony than you know, poring over numbers. And I was just watching him impart what I believe God has given him in his heart. And imparted that to the teachers. And it was just a beautiful thing. There was an anointing on it. It was powerful. And I went, there is a fruit here. There's fruit in the ministry that God has given Anthony to do. And I'll pray for that and bless him in that. And may he grow in that. But let's all do that. Let's all look. Can you bring up all those bubbles? Sorry, Joel, of that. Yeah, all of that. There you go. Because when that all comes together, when we move away from our sin and our fear and we move into the life that God has for us separate from those things, we come close to our calling. When we listen in a spirit-filled community and get the encouragement and take steps of faith and try things out, we come closer into our calling. When we look at, well, where are we bearing fruit? What is God doing around me? And having the courage to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this because that's what's bearing fruit in my life. Right in the middle of all of that is your sweet spot. Is what God will anoint and what God will empower to bring his kingdom to the world around you. And I know that we can, and over the years when you look at, how do we know the ministry that God has for us or God's calling on our lives, we do all these spiritual gift questionnaires and strength finder things and all those things are helpful. I'm not saying they're not helpful. But if the three things that are really important to constantly just be aware of and will help you grow into that which God has for you is moving away from your fears and your sin and closer to who God, who you know in your heart God has called you to be. I was talking to a lady just a couple of weeks ago and she was saying, I know God has put this on my heart to do. And I said, well, how's that going? She said, oh, I haven't really done much about it. But press into that. That's who God's called you to be. Listen to spirit-filled people around you and let them encourage you and let them feed into, confirm it. Because often you can't see how good you are at something until someone says, yeah, you're so good at that. That's just come so naturally to you. And it's so natural to you that you miss it. But it actually takes someone else to say, do this. And then as you do it, it produces fruit and confirms that that's what you're meant to do. Don't do it in your own effort. Don't just try and do stuff. Don't start a ministry and go, hey, I think this is a good idea. Do it with the Spirit of God, with God's leading and God's timing. And as all those things come together, you'll find that ministry just comes naturally. It's easy. It's just the overflow of God's life around you. And you'll bring the kingdom of God to those around you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.